Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. My name is Annie Day. I'm your guest host for today's show. I am really thrilled to be here. I'm missing Michael Slate. I'm sure you are too. I'll be with you for a couple weeks while he's traveling. And we've got a very special show for you today. We are going to be largely listening to and digging into together excerpts from the RNL, The Revolution, Nothing Less show. This is a show you can watch on YouTube, youtube.com/TheRevComs. And we're going to be bringing you that today because they're bringing hard-hitting truth, hard-hitting reality, and a hard-hitting challenge to confront the situation we face, to confront the looming and serious danger, but also act to seize the possibility for a whole better world. So let's kind of jump in, as Michael always says. I want to, you know, just this week we all heard this former Oath Keeper at the January 6th committee hearings talk about the reality of what the Oath Keepers, what these Proud Boy forces are planning. And he said, let's not mince words. These are militias. Let's not mince words. These are forces that are preparing, that are itching to fight in a new civil war. And these forces are organized all throughout the country. And their counterparts are in the Supreme Court. And this is what we just saw with the overturning of the right to abortion. But they're also in the street. So we're going to go into the rest of the show in a minute, but I want to start with an invitation. All of you listening who care deeply about the future, you have to do and be part of what the fascists fear most, which is to overwhelm them with our numbers. Overwhelm them with our force of nonviolent diversity, rallying, marching, repudiating the fascists in the Supreme Court, repudiating in the legislatures, and repudiating them in the streets. We cannot cede ground to them. We won't bow down to fascists. Abortion on demand and without apology. Demand the federal government restore legal abortion nationwide now. And they've already shown us that they have no respect for women, humanity, the rule of law. You know, these fascists, they have a two-pronged strategy, moving to install a theocratic dark ages through the legal mechanisms of the court and the legislatures, and through extra legal means of violence and force. And we cannot let them have the future. We cannot let them have the future. The people in our thousands and in our millions need to counter this. We need to fill the streets in mass, sustained, nonviolent protest to demand that the federal government restore legal abortion nationwide now. And we need to counter the fascist stormtroopers when they try to make abortion illegal and accessible everywhere through terror and violence. Now is the time for courage, people. We outnumber them, but our numbers need to be visible, not cowering in our homes alone, scrolling through our phones, and cowering in fear and terror, but acting with determination, nonviolence, diversity, and together in the streets. So now is the time to stand up together as if our lives depend on it. For, in fact, they do. So that's a call from Rise Up for Abortion Rights, which is a coalition of people coming from all different perspectives to do what I just said, to demand federal legal abortion nationwide now. And Rise Up for Abortion Rights has come under really ugly attack from forces in the so-called left, forces in the so-called movement. That's some of what our show is going to focus on today. Why are these attacks coming down? How do we understand them in terms of the whole history of attacks on movements of resistance and protest? What kind of standards do we need in our movements of resistance and protest? But another part of this that's coming under very ugly and vicious and dangerous attack is an attack on the RevComs and an attack on the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. So you're going to hear about all that today. We're going to go into our first segment, which is, like I said, we're bringing you excerpts all throughout the show today of the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. You're listening to the Michael Slate Show, and you're listening to his dear friend, Annie Day, who is guest hosting his show for a couple weeks. So let's go into that first segment. We're going to hear Andy Z's opening commentary from the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, and he's going to then bring you some real lofty and hard-hitting truth from the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian.
Welcome to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. This is our 110th episode on July 14th, 2022. My name is Andy Z. I'm the host of the show, and I am back in Los Angeles, California. This past Tuesday, the congressional hearings on the January 6th attempted coup by Trump presented its sixth of seven charges against what happened on that day. There was telling and compelling documentation of the planning and coordination of the assault on the Capitol. There was evidence of how there are forces that are preparing and salivating for a new civil war to establish a white supremacist theocratic form of rule. The committee members framed their presentation of this evidence as a defense of American democracy, the grand experiment of rule by the people and the rule of law.
Remember the men and women who have fought and died so that we can live under the rule of law, not the rule of men.
What makes America great? Devotion to the Constitution, allegiance to the rule of law, a shared journey to build a more perfect union.
We will begin today's RNL show with a reading of the July 8th article on our website, revcom.us, by Bob Avakian, titled January 6th Hearings and the Violence of This System. And this article by Bob Avakian grounds today's RNL show in the true nature of the system that we live under and its form of rule, and the rare time we are living in, where there is not and there cannot be any bridging of the divide in America from top to bottom, from the highest reaches of the government down to the most intimate ways people live, as has been grievously illustrated by the stripping away of abortion rights by a theocratic, fascist-dominated Supreme Court. The most important thing to understand and to act on in this unique situation that we are living in is that the very extremeness of the divide in society and the fact that it cannot be resolved through the normal way this system has been ruled presents the possibility for an actual revolution. Bob Avakian, in his seminal work for this time, Something Terrible or Something Truly Emancipating, puts forward the foundational understanding of why this is so and provides a deep strategic roadmap for how we can go to work to bring about a future that would be truly emancipating through an actual revolution. On our website, revcom.us, there is a concentration of this roadmap in a piece that's titled Organizing for an Actual Revolution, Seven Key Points, where it describes the moment this way, quote, "This rare situation with the deepening and sharpening conflicts among the ruling powers and in society overall provides a stronger basis and greater openings to break the hold of this system over masses of people. In a situation like this, things that have basically remained the same for decades can radically change in a very short period of time. This rare time must not be wasted. It must be seized on to have a real fighting chance to bring about a truly emancipating revolutionary resolution and not be subjected to a terrible, reactionary, murderously oppressive, and destructive resolution," end quote. How do we do this? In Something Terrible or Something Truly Emancipating, Bob Avakian writes, quote, "In order to win masses of people to revolution, there is a tremendous amount of struggle that needs to go on, not just against the system that is a source of the horrors that people are continually subjected to, but also against ways of thinking and acting among the people that actually internalize and serve to perpetuate this system and the ways of thinking it promotes, with its monstrously oppressive relations and putrid values, ways of thinking and acting that work against the repolarization that is urgently needed to have a real chance at seizing on this rare opportunity to make revolution," end quote. And today's program will be doing just that. In fact, our main commentary for today's show will be from my co-host Sansara Taylor responding to a vicious hit job article that targets Bob Avakian and the movement he leads from the website The Daily Beast, that repeats and takes off from the attack of some so-called leftist pro-choice organizations that I rebutted on last week's Revolution Nothing Less show. In Sansara's reply, there are important questions of truth and lies, of morality, of integrity, of the situation humanity faces, and what is to be done to free all of humanity. These bullshit attacks on Bob Avakian and the RevComs have gained some traction because of how saturated the social movements in this country are with woke identity politics. I want to take a few minutes here to play a very short excerpt from a talk Baba Vakin gave in 2014 at Riverside Church in New York City before 1,900 people in a dialogue he had with Cornel West on revolution and religion. What you're going to hear is but a small section of Baba Vakin's talk where he speaks to the question of, can we be good without God? In which he gives an example from a conversation the RevComs had with someone in Chicago. In this excerpt, Baba Vakin cuts to the nub of where identity politics leads and what our goal can and must be instead.
But to get into this more deeply, let's turn first to some questions that weigh on many people. If our morality does not have an absolute authority, such as a God as its anchor, then how can it hold firm in a world of so much conflict and upheaval? And up against such powerful forces of oppression or evil, how can we hope to prevail if we do not have the backing of an even more powerful and righteous God? Or to put it in basic terms, can we do without, and can we be good without God? And if there is no God, then what should be our guide in living our lives and striving for a more just world? Now, many people, I've had many conversations with people where they say, I need religion just to keep from going off. And I was thinking of a discussion that was held recently with a black youth in Chicago that our party is working closely with. And they got into this question of religion, and he said, look, a lot of your arguments are good, but if I didn't have my religion, if I didn't have my belief in God, I would just go try and kill all the white people. Well, if you're looking to me to defend the way too many white people think and act too much at a time, you are looking in the wrong place. But there are problems with the idea of just taking revenge on those who've had a more privileged position. So you have black people and other people of color kill off all the white people. Then I guess all the women kill off all the men. Then all the gay people kill off all the straight people. And we keep going till I don't know who's left. But besides that obvious problem, there's another problem. If you kill all the white people and you still have the same system, you're going to have the horrible situation where a lot of black people start acting like white people. Why? Because you're dealing with a system, and a system shapes things in a certain way. It has certain rules to how it operates, certain dynamics, you could say. And people will be fitted into places and act accordingly as long as you have that system. And the bigger problem, the deeper problem with this whole idea is that we want to get to a world where there are no people who are up and other people who are down, where there are no people who are ruled and other people who are ruled over. Revenge might taste sweet for a minute, but it will not lead to a world in which we just keep going through the same cycle that these ones are up and those are down and those are down want to get off with those who are up so then they can put them down and we keep the whole cycle going. We want to get beyond all that. That's what we have to be about.
Now, how refreshing is that? You just heard Bob Avakian speaking. That was an excerpt from a dialogue that he did with Cornel West some years ago at Riverside Church. And how about that for a criteria of getting to a world where it's not some people up and some people down, and but actually a world where you're breaking all the chains of oppression and exploitation. Isn't that what we should be weighing everything against? Is that going to get us to there? instead of all the ways in which in this society people tear each other down, people snark and snipe, the fascists are preparing for a one-sided slaughter, a one-sided civil war, and you got our side, the so-called decent people, who I think have the basis to be decent people, but they're at each other's necks and at each other's throats. We have to get up out of that. I am not Michael Slate. I am Annie Day, a dear friend of his, and I'm guest hosting his show. So we're going to keep going and listening to excerpts from the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, which you can watch in full. You can sit and watch, not just listen to, at youtube.com/TheRevComs. This is a fire show. It's really what you need to be watching every week to understand the world and change it in a revolutionary way. And this is an excerpt we're going to play from Bob Avakian. It's narrated by a producer of the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. And it's on the January 6th hearings and the violence of this system. What do we need to understand? What are the key lessons to learn from these hearings, which I hope people are watching and taking very seriously? But what are the lessons we need to be learning through these January 6th hearings? Bob Avakian brings it to you.
January 6th hearings and the violence of this system, by Bob Avakian. The January 6th hearings into the attempted coup by Trump in the aftermath of the 2020 election are important, and it is important that Trump and his co-conspirators be held fully accountable, including legally, for this attempted coup. But at the same time, it is also very important for people to not just accept the claims about democracy and the rule of law by the Democrats and others who are opposed to Trump and are exposing and denouncing his coup attempt. Very important that people finally come to recognize what this democracy is actually based on. In other writings and speeches, I have gone into this in greater depth. Here, I want to highlight critically important points in response to the claim, which has been repeatedly made during the course of these hearings, that we, those who preside over this system of capitalism imperialism, govern through the rule of law and not through coups.
And it's about preserving what actually makes America great: the rule of law, free and fair elections, and the peaceful transfer of power from one elected leader to the next.
One, along with the horrific violence perpetrated within this country to maintain the law and order of this system, such as the continual wanton murders of Black people by police. The truth is that the ruling class of this country, through the CIA and other intelligence services, as well as the military, has constantly carried out coups, invasions, and other violent actions all over the world. And without this, their up to now peaceful transfer of power within this country would have been impossible. The following are just a few examples of countries where the U.S. has carried out coups and similar actions to overthrow popular leaders and governments over the past 70 years. Iran.
The CIA has released documents that show its role in the 1953 coup. That is the coup that toppled Iran's democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. Shortly after his election, the CIA began to plan his overthrow.
Guatemala.
The Guatemalans dared to challenge an American business that controlled much of its economy. A CIA operation mobilized disaffected exiles and peasants into action.
What we wanted to do was have a terror campaign.
Congo.
Patrice Lumumba became the Congo's first prime minister after it gained independence in 1960, but he was only in office for a few months, which led to him being ousted in a coup, imprisoned, tortured, and later executed.
Indonesia.
In 1965 and 1966, the Indonesian military intentionally killed approximately 1 million innocent civilians with the active, enthusiastic participation of the United States government.
Chile.
September 11, 1973, a U.S.-backed coup in Chile led by General Augusto Pinochet ousted Chile's democratically elected president, Salvador Allende.
Honduras.
The fact that Honduras was a democracy didn't stop then Secretary of State Clinton backing regime change even there. Back in 2009, she threw her support behind the coup that ousted democratically elected Honduran President Manuel Zelaya.
To look at this more broadly, in addition to the continuing crimes against humanity carried out by the U.S. just since World War II, including the U.S. slaughter of millions of civilians in Vietnam, and before that in Korea, and the bloody coups it engineered in Indonesia, Iran, and elsewhere, in the period from 1846, the U.S. has intervened in South and Central American countries, militarily, through CIA coups or in other ways, at least 100 times, at the cost of literally hundreds of thousands of deaths and endless misery for the people of those countries.
One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat, not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work.
Much of these bloodthirsty actions and the terrible carnage and atrocity that they involved were carried out under democratic administrations. Monstrous war crimes and crimes against humanity have been repeatedly perpetrated by the Democrats, no less than the Republicans, for the basic reason that both of these parties are instruments of the ruling class of this system of capitalism imperialism. 2. The peaceful transfer of power, which this ruling class has carried out up to now, simply means a transfer of power from one section of this ruling class to another. The much-proclaimed right of the people to self-government by choosing their leaders through free and fair elections is simply the right to choose between these different contending sections of the ruling class, which enforces the rule of this system with continual and horrific violence all over the world, as well as within this country itself. 3. As shown by these January 6 hearings, and in many other ways, including the recent decision by the fascist majority in the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade, this ruling class and the society overall is so sharply and deeply divided that the ruling class cannot continue to rule as a unified force in the way that has held this country together under the rule of this system for generations since the end of the Civil War in the 1860s. These divisions and the conflicts they continually give rise to represent a potential weakening of the hold of this system over masses of people. They provide a rare opportunity for masses of people and their millions and millions to be shaken awake to recognize the real nature of this system and the violent means through which it has always maintained its rule, and to rise up not just to resist its continuing and heightening atrocities, but to finally overthrow this system and replace it with a radically different system, one not based on vicious exploitation and murderous oppression here and throughout the world, but based instead on emancipating relations among people.
From the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, that was a reading of a new article from Bob Avakian about the January 6th hearings and the violence of this system. And I just want to repeat what you just heard. These divisions provide a rare opportunity for people to be shaken awake, to rise up and not just resist, which they need to do, but to finally overthrow this system. And we're in a rare moment where that revolution could be possible, yes, in this country. So to find out more about this, go to revcom.us. Go watch the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, where that excerpt was taken from, and tune in every week to the Michael Slate Show, and here we are together. I'm Annie Day, guest hosting for Michael. We're going to go right into a very sharp rebuttal from Sunsara Taylor. She is the co-host of the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less Show. If you are a regular listener to this show, you have heard her before. She is also one of the key initiators of RiseUpForAbortionRights.org, which has been coming under ugly and vicious attack, and this is her with a sharp rebuttal to an article that was in the Daily Beast that repeats dangerous lies and slander against the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, against the RevComs, and against Rise Up for Abortion Rights. So let's listen to her.
On July 11th, Will Sommer published an article on the website, The Daily Beast, that elevates scurrilous and unprincipled attacks by a motley cabal of pro-choice movement organizations against Rise Up for Abortion Rights and against the RevComs, especially Bob Avakian. The fear-mongering title of this article screams out, "Is this communist cult trying to hijack the abortion movement?" And the article is packed full of outright lies, tired anti-communist tropes, and wildly out-of-context quotations. It's the kind of dishonest hit piece aimed at wiping out serious resistance and revolution, at destroying and endangering lives, a vicious witch hunt that would have made the notorious 1950s anti-communist crusader Senator Joseph McCarthy proud.
Communist, 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 communist.
Will Summers and the opportunists that he is channeling don't want you to think about what is the actual source of the problems humanity faces in this system of capitalism imperialism that rules over us. They don't want you to think seriously about the actual solution to this. A real revolution and a radically new society going to work to dig up all this misery, exploitation, and oppression. This is why Summer relies on scare words like cult and libelous lies about financial improprieties and, again, out-of-context quotes in this vicious attack piece. All this would be pathetic if it weren't so dangerous, and if people in this society were not so easily deluded based on years of soaking themselves in stupefying identity politics, which trains them to focus on themselves and tearing each other down rather than going after this system that is the source of all the inequality and injustice they rightly want to see ended. But you see, Bob Avakian is a serious and a seriously scientific revolutionary leader. But those attacking Bob Avakian, BA, don't want to engage these questions and the work he has done on them, or where they differ, state their disagreements openly and with substance. Instead, they lie, fearmonger, and attack. And in this way, they do the spade work of those who rule this system and their political police, who have a long and grisly track record of working to isolate and neutralize revolutionary leaders and freedom fighters. Yes, Bob Avakian's thinking and analysis on the question of abortion and women's liberation over a whole quarter of a century and right up till now is what led me to play a key role in initiating Rise Up for Abortion Rights. So the hell what? No one has ever hidden that.
As a follower of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian, who is also the architect of the new communism, I'm going to be fighting for what I understand to be true.
We need to stand shoulder to shoulder, whether you're going to end up voting for the Democrats in November or you're like me and you're trying to make a revolution that gets rid of the whole system that they and the fascist Republicans represent.
Do you have any idea the work Bob Avakian has done on this question going back decades? Do any of these haters have a critique of any of this or any of the crucial and clarifying articles that BA has written in the midst of this struggle? Did you ever even read a single one of them, Will Summer? For that matter, did any of you now launching this attack ever read any of these articles? If you did, if you actually read these pieces, let alone all the work that Bob Avakian has done on this question and on ending the oppression of women and all oppression based on gender and sexual orientation, and how this is linked by a thousand threads to the revolution we need to emancipate humanity. If you read this, you'd have to think, and you'd have to think seriously about the dangerous situation we are facing. And what is really going to be required to get us out of this madness? But for intellectual cowards who are more committed to staying in their comfort zone than to ending oppression, so much easier to hide behind words like cult and outright lies. In this way, your readers also don't have to think and start to notice how much dangerous bullshit you are actually peddling. The fact that this kind of garbage could get printed and then bounce around the internet and picked up by social media mobs doesn't make it more true or valid. It just shows the reality of the old adage that a lie can go halfway around the world while the truth is still putting its shoes on. And the fact that people fall for this shows how woefully identity politics woke groupthink has warped people's minds and wiped out their capacity for critical thinking. And by the way, Will Summer, where is your journalistic integrity? Do you have any regard for the truth? Or is trafficking in lies and rumor mongering to serve a political agenda your MO, which is really no different than Trump and the fascists over at Fox News? You printed a mere 14 words of the statements I sent you rebutting the lies your article traffics in. And instead of citing what we RevComs have actually said and written about LGBTQ rights, abortion funds and the sex industry, you repeat dishonest distortions because, like Trump always fell back on, people are saying.
A lot of people are saying that.
A lot of people said.
A lot of people are saying.
Summer also accuses us RevComs of not just joining in, but often playing an initiating role in important struggles against the crimes of this system, like the fight against institutional white supremacy and the epidemic of police murder, or the fight against the rising fascism in this country, as well as other important struggles. To this accusation, we can only answer, innocent as charged. Of course we wage struggle and unite broadly against the crimes of this system to prevent people from getting even more beaten down. And of course we struggle with people over the need for revolution and the need to get into and deeply engage the work of Bob Avakian, not to build up our own thing, as Summer implies, but to enable humanity to get free. You see, Bob Avakian is loved by many who want more than anything else to break the chains that bind humanity, for the very same reason that he is hated by many backwards fools, opportunists, outright counter-revolutionaries, as well as functionaries and enforcers of the present oppressive system. It is because Bob Avakian's entire life and work is dedicated to making the most radical and thoroughgoing revolution in human history, the most radical break with this whole rotten world. Some people are thrown off by the fact that many of those dishonestly attacking Bob Avakian have so-called left credentials and nonprofit positions. Don't be. There is no coincidence that many of those now howling the loudest against Bob Avakian did absolutely nothing to mobilize people to fight against the overturning of abortion rights while there was still a chance. It's no coincidence that all of them, in one form or another, are slavishly determined to accept and work within the confines of the murderous system that rules over us. And it's certainly no coincidence that they are all overwhelmingly focused on increasing the inclusivity within their so-called movements and safe havens, while turning their backs on the people outside their safe spaces, and certainly on those outside the borders of the U.S. empire that they are living parasitically within. But to all of you who are not so jaded, not invested in protecting a little niche in this people-destroying system, let me say this. We are living in an extraordinarily high-stakes time. The normal workings of this system are under concerted attack by the hardcore fascists of the Republican Party, and the Democrats are incapable of holding things together the way they've been, which has always been an empire based on the most brutal, heartless exploitation and violent repression here and around the world. It's not surprising that those who fear people rising up and fighting for fundamental change are doubling down on their efforts to isolate and to bury the singular revolutionary leader who has forged a way out of this madness and is fighting doggedly to make that real. But this, like the rest of the horrible future that is advancing around us, must not be capitulated to. You need to stand up to and call out this McCarthyism. Dig into Bob Avakian and the new communism he has forged. Debate and engage this with substance. And don't measure it against whether it makes you feel comfortable or uncomfortable. Don't measure it against what everybody else is thinking. Measure it up against the reality of the world around us and what it is really going to take to get humanity free.
So that's a challenge for all of you listening to think critically. That's what this show is helping you do, bringing you facts of the world, bringing you the reality of the need and the basis for an actual revolution, in taking on the lies and slander against real revolution. So let's go into our quick break, and we'll come back with more from the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, in the special edition of the Michael Slate Show.
We won't go back. what is it going to take to convince black people and other people of color that the Communist Party is not simply like the Democratic Party, really a white supremacist party that's just using tokenism in order to get the support of people of color?
Well, what it's going to take is doing what we say we're setting out to do and being what we say we are. You know, everybody who's part of this, not just the white people, but everybody that's part of this, we're saying that, that we have a certain analysis of what the problem is facing humanity and what the solution is and what's necessary, as I was speaking to during my presentation, what's necessary to get from here to there. And what will convince people is seeing people consistently acting on that. Yes, propagating it, struggling with people about it, but consistently acting on it. That's what is the most convincing thing, because people will have questions, especially people who've been burned 1,000 times. You know, this is there's nothing surprising and nothing wrong with people, you know, wanting to see something proven, as long as it, you know, they're willing to you know, look at it honestly and see what it is. You know, that's the thing we have to get beyond. We have to get beyond where people just listen to a lot of slander about different things. You know, take a scientific approach. Actually look into things and be a critical thinker. Evaluate things. Don't just listen to what somebody told you. Oh, you know, there's too much in this culture. I have to say this. Oh, I heard this about this one or that one, or I heard this about that. Okay, so you heard that. So what's the next point? You know, let's get into looking into, well, you know, if it's important, then look, you know, if you heard that somebody, you know, prefers to eat you know, peanuts instead of pecans. Well, who gives a, you know, who cares? Okay, but if, you know, you're hearing something important, if it's about something important, look into it. And yes, test people out, but be part of it too, and you know, and struggle with people. Don't just sit back and say, let's see if it's for real. Get involved and make it for real while you're struggling with people. And you know, and then it's on all of us, whether black, Latino, Native American, Asian, white, or whatever, it's on all of us to actually make this happen. Because if we don't make this happen, if we don't get rid of this system, it's not going to matter, because none of this stuff is going to change. You know, and we can juggle around who's in what position or whatever in a minor degrees, but it's not going to change for the you know, billions of people in the world who are, like I said, suffering terribly and completely unnecessarily. So the proof is in what you do, which includes what you say, but also, you know, how consistently you carry out what you say, and where we don't do what people think we should be doing, they should tell us. And we should get into struggle. Maybe they're wrong, maybe they're right. You know, maybe what they think we should be doing, there's good reason why we're not doing it. You know, people tell us, well, if you really want to be serious, why don't you get it on right now? Well, I like to get it on. If you want to be honest, I like to get it on right now, but we just get smashed. And then what good does that do anybody? So sometimes people raise things that are wrong. Sometimes they raise things that are right. Why are you guys not doing this? And they're absolutely right. Well, this is part of the process, but we have to also get beyond you guys and us guys. Everybody's got to get into this who wants to see a radically different and better world, and then we'll all struggle together over it. And you know, that's the process, you know, and constantly summing up what we're doing and what we're learning. Actually being scientific in the sense that you're not just some abstract thing or a phrase to throw around, but actually investigating reality. What's happening when we're going out to change reality? What more are we learning about reality and all its different, you know, expressions? And how do we do better at the objective that we have to aim for? This is the process that has to go in. And people, look, there's no guarantee, I'll say this for anybody. To be honest, there have been white leaders who've been sold out. There have been black leaders who've sold out. There have been leaders of every race and nationality who've sold out, and many who haven't, and have been killed. There's no guarantee about this. We just have to do what needs to be done and do it, you know, and learn to do it better and better and fight through everything that's going to be thrown at us to get where we need to go. Because, like I said, you have a basic decision here. Do you want to continue with this? Not just you. I mean, people have a basic decision. Do you want to continue with the world the way it is, or do you want to actually be part of bringing to being a completely different world where everything that we're just told is the way things have to be no longer is? And that's the question. And if you want that, you know, we can't give any guarantees. What we can say is that this is what we stand for, this is what we're working for, this is what we're fighting for, and become part of it, and let's struggle with each other about how to get where we need to go. That's the answer I would give.
So you are listening to a special edition of the Michael Slate Show. I am not Michael Slate. I'm his dear friend, Annie Day. And we're bringing you excerpts from the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. And on the airwaves, this show on this station is the place where you are going to hear the reality. A lot of people want to turn their heads from what's happening. They want to stick their head in their phones. They want to Netflix and chill. They want to you know, kind of dwell in the safe spaces of empire. But this show will bring you the reality. Yes, the danger of what we're facing, the fact that you live in a society that just legally subordinated women, that basically with the overturning of the right to abortion has enslaved women. And we will bring you the reality of what that portends in terms of the danger of a fascist America, the danger of these forces preparing for a one-sided civil war. But this you are only going to hear on this show is the potential to do something about that, to wrench out a positive opening for an actual revolution where you will hear the cold, hard truth of the need and the basis, the strategy and the leadership for that revolution, someone named Bob Avakian, the RevCom, and hear how they're uniting broadly with all kinds of forces all throughout society. So we're going to go into now more from the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. This is Rafael Cadares, who's a regular contributor to the RNL show, bringing you the history of COINTELPRO, which unfortunately too many in the younger generations don't know about. And those who did know about it, the lessons of that have been eroded. The dangers of that have been diluted in people's memories. And there is urgent lessons for today, which everyone everywhere, anyone who hears this attack on, this slander on the RevComs, oh, that's a cult, wouldn't you hear, blah, 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 blah. You need to remember the history of COINTELPRO, and you need to be part of taking on those lies, taking on that slander, which, by the way, is an irrational critique, and it's an insulting critique. And you can go on RevCom.us to hear more about why. But all of you have a role to play, whether you think we need a revolution or not, in taking on these lies. So let's hear Rafael Cadares bring this history. So here we go.
Did you know that from 1956 to 1971, the FBI ran a secret program designed to foment conflict within revolutionary movements, as well as broader movements for reform? Conflicts which not only crippled these movements, but served as a cover to frame and even outright murder revolutionary fighters and activists. Did you know that they sent undercover people into these movements specifically to create or magnify conflicts? They spread unsubstantiated gossip, rumors, and often inventions. They forged documents and planted false stories in the press. And those the FBI identified as leaders were marked for neutralization, a euphemism for being framed on serious criminal charges or killed. All this came to light in 1971 when some heroic people snuck into an FBI office at night and appropriated the files on this counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO for short.
Last March, someone broke into the FBI offices in Media, Pennsylvania, stole some records, and mailed copies of them around to several newspapers.
Those records would help bring an end to J. Edgar Hoover's secret activities within the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
He ordered his agents not only to expose new left groups, but to take action against them to neutralize them.
As a result, many people in the movements of the time and even beyond in the broader society adopted standards for settling differences over politics and ideology in a principled way to prevent the police, FBI, and other government agencies from spreading slanders, creating divisions, and endangering the lives of people active in the struggle for justice. Now, decades later, younger generations are way too unaware of this history, and in too many cases are doing the work of COINTELPRO, whether they're conscious of it or not. We see this in the vicious and very dangerous attacks that have been launched recently against Rise Up for Abortion Rights, the RevComs, Bob Avakian, and Sansara Taylor, by some activists in the movement spreading blatant lies and slander. A disinformation campaign no better than Trump's big lie. People who did little to nothing to stop the fascist attacks on abortion rights, trying to keep people away from and tear down the one group, Rise Up for Abortion Rights, that called for mass resistance to this. People who've never read anything substantial from Babavakian, never even thought about the crucial questions of revolutionary strategy and theory that are key to getting free from this capitalist imperialist nightmare, slandering the person who has answers to these questions as some kind of scary communist cult leader. Both accusations of transphobia, which are easily refuted by looking at the Rise Up for Abortion Rights and RevCom websites, and completely made up charges of financial fraud, inviting the state in to investigate. This is extremely dangerous. What's even worse is how many people uncritically regurgitate these lies, spreading this garbage on social media. All this gets picked up and further amplified by journalists with no journalistic integrity and standards, and used by operatives of the Democratic Party as well as Republican fascist forces. And it becomes the sewer in which the police and intelligence agents can swim and do their dirty work of trying to suppress dissent and snuff out revolutionaries. To give you a sense of the real-world consequences of this, I'm going to share some examples of what happened as a result of COINTELPRO. The point is to learn from this history, not repeat it. One of the earliest and ugliest FBI operations was against Malcolm X. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover was fixated on preventing the rise of a black messiah and clearly viewed Malcolm X as such a threat. One of the COINTELPRO tactics was to manufacture or fuel disputes between black movement organizations and individuals. In 1964, Malcolm left the Nation of Islam, the NOI, over important political differences. He was beginning to reject the mysticism and conservatism of the NOI and become more broad-minded and revolutionary-minded.
And in my opinion, the young generation of whites, blacks, brown, whatever else there is, you're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution, a time when there's got to be a change. People in power have misused it, and now there has to be a change, and a better world has to be built, and the only way it's going to be built is with extreme methods. And I, for one, will join in with anyone, don't care what color you are, as long as you want to change this miserable condition that exists on this earth. Thank you.
NOI leaders responded not by debating the political differences with Malcolm, but by stirring up personal animosity, launching unprincipled attacks and veiled threats against Malcolm. For example, Louis Farrakhan said that Malcolm was worthy of death. All this created an atmosphere in which the authorities could carry out their nefarious activities and manipulate others to do so for them. Soon after, Malcolm was assassinated. At least 9 FBI informants and several other pigs from the NYPD's Red Squad were in the ballroom where it happened. The FBI Chicago office openly bragged about promoting and making the clash between the NOI and Malcolm worse. In November 2021, the 2 men who had been convicted for the murder of Malcolm X were found innocent and exonerated after decades in prison, but the hand of the system remains covered up. A major objective and focus of COINTELPRO was isolating and setting up the most revolutionary forces at the time for attack, especially the Black Panther Party, the BPP. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover declared the Panthers the greatest threat to the internal security of the country and wrote to FBI offices calling for imaginative and hard-hitting counterintelligence measures aimed at crippling the BPP.
FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover today asserted that the Black Panthers represent the greatest internal threat to the nation.
As they did with Malcolm X, the FBI often focused on setting up others to do the actual dirty work. To take one notorious example, the FBI forged a letter, supposedly from someone in the community, to Jeff Fort, the leader of the Blackstone Rangers, a Chicago gang at the time, claiming that the BPP was getting ready to move on him. Fort was suspicious and decided the threatening letter was not credible. But this letter was part of a larger COINTELPRO operation that set in motion events that led to the assassination of Panther leader Fred Hampton by Chicago police and the FBI in 1969.
We always say the Black Panther Party they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that.
And yes, the FBI came after Bob Avakian, who by the late 1960s was emerging as a revolutionary leader.
And let me say one thing to the white people in the audience. Now, you know, Bobby has been saying for a long time, we will not fight racism with racism. We refuse to stoop to the level of a racist to hate somebody because of the color of his skin. Well, that's fine. But I see a lot of white people walking around and say, oh, good. Now the Black Panther Party don't hate me. I can go on about my business. That's a cop-out. And if you act like that, the Black Panther Party will hate you. Not because you're white, but because you ain't taking care of business to organize other people. Teach them the need to support the Black Liberation Movement led by the Black Panther Party as a strong, fearless voice against American imperialism, and to link up with all the people in Vietnam, in China, in Angola, in Latin America, and everywhere else who are standing shoulder to shoulder to drive this vicious beast out of the way and out of the pages of history.
In June 1971, FBI Director L. Patrick Gray noted to subordinates that this is the kind of extremist I want to go after hard and with innovation. In his memoir, From Ike to Mao and Beyond, Bob Avakian talks about how he was approached by the head of the Berkeley Police Red Squad and told that he and the Revolutionary Union, which BA played a central role in founding, were under surveillance. A Freedom of Information Act discovery revealed that the House of Representatives did a whole report and investigation on the Revolutionary Union. Another Freedom of Information Act inquiry also showed that BA was under surveillance in Maywood, a suburb of Chicago, and that the FBI had made a diagram of the inside of his house, indicating through which windows someone could see different things going on inside the house. This was similar to the diagram of Fred Hampton's house that enabled the FBI and the Chicago cops to assassinate him. The 1960s and early 70s was a time when people who wanted a better world were discussing big questions: reform or revolution, Marxism, anarchism, or some other framework. What's required for Black liberation and women's liberation? And what's the relation of that to the struggle to end all forms of exploitation and oppression? What methods and criteria for leadership should be used? How can revolution actually be made in this country up against the forces of repression? There were big debates, as there should be, about these important questions and sharp political differences. The pattern and practice of COINTELPRO was to exploit these differences, to twist them into vicious, destructive, personal attacks with the aim of disintegrating the movements for social change, isolating and setting up the most radical and revolutionary forces and leaders for neutralization. The urgent question for today is this: don't fall for and don't tolerate the kinds of behavior that mimic what the FBI has used to destroy social movements and take out revolutionary leaders. Call it out. Fight for a culture where people unite against our common enemy and discuss and debate our disagreements, not gossip, rumors, and personal attacks. A culture where people are critical thinkers and look for the evidence rather than believing things just because it suits your objectives or comes from a source you like. A culture of broadness of mind and generosity of spirit, instead of sadistic Twitter trolls and building yourself up by tearing others down. There are big questions before us today, literally life and death questions, as capitalism pushes our planet over the cliff, world war looms, and the Republicans seek to impose their fascist agenda through the courts, the state houses, and the violent MAGA mobs, while the Democratic Party has no answers to this, except trying to maintain the norms of this oppressive system as the fascists tear up those norms. And it needs to be said that the normal workings of this system the Democrats uphold includes the merciless, vengeful repression and suppression of all who seriously oppose their system. So what road forward for humanity? Give in to the despair? Help a few people on the margins and keep relying on the Democrats as these activists attacking Rise Up for Abortion Rights and the RevComs insist? Or the road of resistance and revolution? There is a roadmap for this and a new communism developed by Bob Avakian. If people got on this road in this moment of deep crisis and divisions, We can change everything. That demands serious engagement. That is what the haters attacking us and the powers that be who take advantage of them are so afraid of. That is what we in the RevComs will not back off of one inch. And we will not allow these counter-revolutionary assholes, or just fools acting like the volunteer COINTELPRO brigade, to help the system target the foremost revolutionary leader of our time, like they did Malcolm X, Fred Hampton, and so many others. There's a road that's been paved in blood, with oceans of blood in the coming years if things stay on this course, with tremendous suffering and death for people here and all over the world under this system. And there is a road of struggle. Which road, which future, which side are you on?
So that was Rafael Cadarez from the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. And I hope this show has given you a tremendous amount to think about. Yes, post very sharp challenges on where are your sights set? What are you fighting for? What standards are you fighting for out in society and in these movements that exist in this country? Far too small, far too few, and I need to grow and need to change. So I hope we've posed challenges to you, but I've also hope we've raised your sights. So that's it. I think I'll be joining you next week as your guest host. If you want to watch the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, you can go to youtube.com/TheRevCon. I want to thank Henry Carson for helping pull this show together and Gary Baca, the engineer, and we will see you next week.
If one woman hurts, if one woman cries, if one man bleeds, rise. Up, get up, dance up, get up. Sing up, get up, change everything. Up, get up, dance up, get up. Sing up, get up, change everything. Silence must stop, violence must end. Broken body and spirit will rise again. Strength in numbers, take a stand. Right the wrongs, don't ask a man. If one taking our place. If one woman